Well, I'm so very glad to see all of you here this evening, and we are excited about the events of tonight. Most excited about my preaching, I know, or maybe you're excited about the congregation fellowship after the services are over with as well. But we are certainly excited to be here this evening together as a family of God, and because of that, it's a real pleasure and benefit for all of us to get an opportunity to share one another's company as we study from God's Word, as we sing praises to Him. And this is, it's a beautiful thing for us to be a part of the Lord's church. And I'm so thankful that you are here this evening so that we can share in this opportunity of worship together. And as we have an opportunity to worship and following that have an opportunity to fellowship, we are also very thankful for that, and also want to invite all of you again to make sure that you come and enjoy that this evening. If you're visiting with us tonight, and we do have several visitors with us, we are delighted that you have decided to join us, and we welcome you this evening and look forward to spending some time with you following our services tonight as well. This evening, lesson is going to be about sacrifice. We're going to pay attention to this passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, but we'll get to that in a few moments as we develop our lesson together this evening. You know, we've been talking about congregation appreciation, and really tonight is the night about us showing one another how much we appreciate one another in this congregation. And certainly we do that. But, you know, I wanted to share something tonight that might help us demonstrate how that we appreciate Christ. Are we showing that enough? Now, this morning we talked about how that Christ will be exalted when a few things happen, and we discussed Psalm chapter 96. And we want to exalt Christ, and we want to praise Him, and we want to obey Him, and we want to worship Him. And we talked about many of those things this morning. But I want us to talk a little bit about sacrifice this evening. The first thing, though, that I want us to notice is this. I want you to notice this statement. For the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. This was the motto of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. They all signed that. This is what they believed in. And I want you to look at that for a moment. And I want you to allow that to sink in, what they were doing. They were pledging to each other their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor. We're giving all of that up for this declaration. We want to become a nation, and we're going to fight together, and we're going to do the things that we need to do in order to make this come to pass. And I think about the great kingdom that we exist in today, the kingdom of God, that nation, that holy nation, this royal group of people that exist as the church. And I wonder if we have that same type of dedication, if we're willing to make the same type of sacrifices for one another and for the cause of Christ that our founders were willing to make on behalf of us in order to have the great country that we live in today. And so as I thought about that, I was trying to think about a passage of Scripture in my mind that kind of gave the sentiment of what we need to have as Christians as far as sacrifice is concerned. And this is what I wanted to share with you. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. The Apostle Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That is his declaration. That's the Apostle Paul's declaration. And I guess my question is that my declaration as well? Am I willing to sign my name to that statement? Like the Declaration of Independence signers were willing to put their names and pledge to each other their mutual resources and their sacred honor and everything so that what they wanted could happen. Are we willing to sign our name to the statement here that is made by the Apostle Paul in Galatians 2:20, that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I'm ready now to sacrifice myself for Jesus Christ. I'm ready now to give my life in dedication to Him. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's my declaration today. Is that our declaration now? Do we live by this principle in our life? Are we willing to sacrifice for the kingdom of God. The way our founders were willing to sacrifice for the kingdom of the United States. You know, when you think about the definition of sacrifice, the vocabulary.com version of this, and I know this isn't the Webster, Merriam, or whatever, but here you go, and it's pretty good. It's a loss of something you give up, usually for a better cause. A loss of something you give up, usually for a better cause. Which brings me to our text for tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, by His poverty, might become rich. Is that not the epitome of sacrifice? Now, I might have some problems with how this relates to the definition there, because I'm not sure I'm a better cause. I'm glad that it said usually for a better cause. I don't know that I'm a better cause than Christ. I'm not a better cause than what He had while He was there in heaven. But He was willing to give up something for me. Something that was precious. He was willing to give up His home. He was willing to give up the riches that He enjoyed with His Father in heaven so that He could become poor and live here on this earth so that I might be able to one day become rich. Now that, the epitome of a sacrifice for us. So when I think about that sacrifice, it gets me to thinking about how can I show my appreciation to Jesus? What sacrifices am I making in my life to show Him how much I care for Him? And so I want to spend a little bit of time thinking about that this evening. To begin with, let's take a look at this. Reputation. Are we willing to sacrifice our reputation? Now, let's look at a few passages together. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I invite you to open your Bibles to that text. 1 Corinthians 4, we're going to notice verses 10 through 13 here. I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To the present hour we hunger and thirst, we are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless, and we labor working with our own hands. When reviled we bless, when persecuted we endure, when slandered we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things." If Paul had given up his reputation there as being a part of the Sanhedrin, as one who they would have considered to be zealous of the law of God, according to the Jewish mindset there. He had lost all of that. He said, "We have become fools." Everybody looks at us, they see what we're doing, and that we're living for Jesus, and the things that we may be going through in our life, the persecutions that we endure, how we live our life. We are what? What did he say? We are homeless, poorly dressed, buffeted, and we're living that life because we want to live it for Jesus Christ. There are things that we're trying to accomplish, and because we're trying to accomplish those things, we have been left in this state. And everybody looks at us and says, "You know what? You're a fool. It's foolish for you to do that. It is foolish for you to be homeless, and it's foolish for you to put yourself through the buffeting, and it's foolish for you to be out and about poorly dressed for the cause of Christ." He said, "We've become the scum." He didn't care about what other people thought of him. Paul was only interested in what Jesus thought about him. You go to Acts chapter 26. You know how that Paul has been arrested and he's been in prison for some time. In fact, he was in prison through two governors there, of the Roman province, We know that Felix was first, and he was imprisoned there, and he gave his defense to Felix. He even gave his defense before the Jews, and Felix didn't necessarily have anything against him. In fact, he didn't even leave the next governor any type of statement about why Paul was in prison still, to the point that Festus, the new governor, had to do a reexamination of the Apostle Paul while he was there in prison, because Felix left no instructions about what to do with this prisoner, and while he's here, that for maybe he's under question about some customs of the Jewish people. So if Festus doesn't know what to do. So Festus decides that he's going to get King Agrippa, because King Agrippa, you know, he will know something. This is his territory, right? He ought to know something about what's going on, and probably he's heard about this guy and his reputation. He knows something, so let me call him. And so Agrippa, his wife, they come there, and they're going to hear Paul's defense. And Paul is giving his defense before the governor Festus, before Agrippa. And after Paul begins to talk, you know what Festus says? He says, "Paul, you must be out of your mind. You must be mad. Your great knowledge has confused you. It's made you crazy." No reputation. I don't care what other people think about it. I don't care if they think that I'm crazy because of my faith in Jesus Christ. And I don't care that they think that I'm crazy because there are certain circles I'm not going to go in. I'm not going to run with certain crowds. Even if it does affect my reputation as being somebody that's popular or being somebody that's cool or hip or that's tolerant of all the things that are going on, I don't care about my reputation. I'm willing to give it up. And folks, these ideas do exist. They do exist. Are you willing to have people think of you as peculiar if it serves Christ's purpose? Are you willing to make that sacrifice for people to think of you as strange or peculiar or weird if it serves the purpose of Christ? There's a lot of people that aren't willing to do that. I'm going to be honest. Last night, I was up late. I'd been watching some football, and I guess I had my adrenaline going last evening, so I really couldn't sleep. So I had been watching some of the football games, and so I just started flipping the channel. I was sitting in the chair trying to, you know, just relax for a little bit. So I flipped down. I flipped down one channel from where the ball game was on. And it was so late that they had Saturday Night Live on. Now, I don't advocate that show. I don't watch it and never watched it. I have seen a few little clips that people have showed me in the past. But when I flipped over there, what caught my attention were two people sitting with a guy at a news desk. And they were wearing the most hideous sweaters I'd ever seen. And so I got to thinking, oh, they must be pulling some kind of joke on ugly sweater, Christmas sweaters. You ever seen that? You know, a lot of times you even have these parties sometimes. I think that the people have these ugly Christmas sweater parties. In fact, we were at Walmart picking up a few things for the Congregation Appreciation Dinner tonight, and we were walking through Walmart, and right beside us as we were walking, was the ugliest Christmas sweater I've ever seen. It had a bunch of ugly cats with like ornaments, their faces in ornaments and stuff like that all over the stuff. That's the ugliest Christmas sweater I've ever seen in my life. People wear those ugly, and people make jokes about it all the time. So when I flipped the switch and it went to that, I saw these people and they were trying to sing a goofy song, and the man at the news desk was going on. And so I thought, well, they must be, making fun of people that are so fanatical about Christmas, and they got on their weird Christmas thing. But as I was sitting there listening, and they were singing some kind of goofy song, and apparently they were saying that they were musicians, and they were just making up songs, and the host soon realized they were not real musicians. They were just making all of this up. But they were acting real weird. They had on their weird sweaters. And you know what they said? We just came from the Creation Museum. Why did they say that? Why did they have that in their skit? Because they wanted Christians that believe in creation to look like fools and idiots to everybody in the world. It exists, folks. I flipped the channel just as quick as I got on it, off of that. That makes my blood boil. I don't know about yours. That's so frustrating. Can we make Christians look like it? You know what? I don't care what they think about me. And I don't care that they feel that I'm a fool for believing in what God's Word clearly teaches. If it costs me my reputation, I'm willing to sacrifice it for Christ. Is that what we're willing to give up for Him? What about this? Are we willing to sacrifice our resources for Christ? And out beside this idea, I'm talking about our lifestyle. Our lifestyle. You know, we think about the rich young ruler, and yes, he's called a young man in Matthew chapter 19. There, sometimes people say, well, it says rich ruler in some places, but he called a young man in Matthew chapter 19. So the designation rich young ruler is okay, folks. But in Matthew chapter 19, we've got this man who wants to know what he needs to do in order to inherit eternal life, in order to be right with God. What do I need to do? Teacher, tell me. And you know the law and the prophets, you know, shall not kill, you shall not steal, shall not commit adultery, honor your father. All these things I've kept from my youth up. One thing you lack. Go and sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor and come and follow me. And the man was sad about that. And the scriptures in both cases, Matthew chapter 19 and Luke chapter 18, reveal that he was sad. Why? He was very, very rich. I'm just not ready yet to give up this lifestyle. I've got all these resources. Life's comfortable. Things are good. I don't need to go messing with the apple cart. And we fall in love with those things that make us comfortable in life. And sometimes in our pursuit to make sure that we maintain these things, I think we lose sight of what's most important. Are we willing to sacrifice our resources for God? Are we willing to give up something for a better or a greater cause? That's what we need to be willing to do in our lifestyle. Yeah, I think about Demas. You know, you go to the Scriptures, and Demas is mentioned three times. And I want us to look at each of these because they say something a little bit different about Demas. Every time. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14. Listen here. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Here we've got Demas saying hello and greeting the church at Colossae. You know, he's involved in the work with Paul. You go to Philemon, verse 24 of that particular text, and you find that Demas is a fellow worker, a fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul. So here we've got a guy that is so involved in the work that's going on in the church, and he's there right with the Apostle Paul because as they're writing the letter to Colossae, he said, hey, Demas is sending you greeting. He's working with Paul. He's with him. He's on the trips. He's doing the mission journey. He's taking the gospel to other places. Maybe that he's delivering some type of benevolent supplies. We're not told what he's doing, but we know that he's involved in the mission work with Paul. He is deep in it. And here are two examples. He greets the Christians at Colossae. Philemon 24, it says he's a fellow laborer with Paul. And then we come to 2 Timothy 4:10. Paul says, the Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You know what? This lifestyle has gotten just a little too difficult. I don't know what it was. I don't know the straw that broke the camel's back for Demas that sent him back running towards the world and away from the work that he had been engaged with and his love for Christ. All I know is Paul says, he has left me, having loved the present world. I'm just not going to give myself to this Christian lifestyle Now, I'm just not going to sacrifice the things of the world and my love of the things of this world for the cause of Christ. And he left. Are we willing to sacrifice our resources? And listen, folks, when I think about sacrifice, sacrifice is not something that is pleasant. It's not something that's easy. Sometimes sacrifice is painful. It's difficult. When we think about our situation here in the church, especially here in America, and we think about how nice we have it and how comfortable things are, and folks, we pretty much worship and live in a pain-free environment. Yeah, there's the occasional statement, like we noted a few moments ago, where people want to say things about us that we don't appreciate. There's that occasional thing, but folks, we live a pain-free existence, don't we, for the most part? Am I so in love with my lifestyle, my resources, that I'm missing what's most important? Being sacrificial for God and giving to Him first. And then finally, relationships. Relationships. What about our relationship with some loved ones? Do we ever have to sacrifice those at times? Ever have to sacrifice a relationship because we need to be obedient to Christ and we need to honor Him more than to be connected with someone that we desperately love and care deeply about? But for whatever reason, it is not right and holy and healthy to be associated with that relationship. You know, I think about Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37, and I want to look at both of these texts because these texts say just a little bit different things. They basically, the gist is the same, but the wording is slightly different. First of all, if we look in Luke chapter 14 and verse 26, Luke 14 and 26, he says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Now, he uses some strong language there, Luke does. This is the cost of discipleship. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother. We'll go over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, we probably like this version a little bit better, don't we? It's a little gentler. But we look at verse 37. It says, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Now, you think about that. Yeah, that's a little bit, loving him more. Now, he's not talking about literal hatred, okay? I mean, that would contradict other statements of the Scripture where we're told to love one another and to love our wives and to love our children. But what he's saying is, I've got to be first. And if a relationship that you are engaged in with your mama or your daddy or your wife or your brother or your sister or somebody that you truly love is a relationship that takes you away from me or takes you away from my teachings, guess what? That relationship has to be severed. I've got to come first. So are you willing to sacrifice relationships with love? You know, I think about John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. And Brandon read that for us this morning as we were partaking of the Lord's Supper. And a beautiful passage of Scripture. But at the very beginning of that, it says that the time had come for Jesus now to be crucified. And he was there reclining with them. And he got up. And as you know, he was going to wash their feet. But before it says that, it says this. He loved his own. Having loved his own. He loved those apostles. He loved those men that were reclining there at the table with him that night. Jesus absolutely loved them. And guess what else? We know that in Mark chapter 14, verses 17, it became known to the people that were there at the dinner table, somebody was going to betray him. Somebody was going to betray him. We come to understand who that was. It was Judas. John chapter 13. Before Mark 14 happened, John 13 happened. You know what? He washed Judas' feet too. John chapter 17 and verse 12. Jesus, as he is praying there in the garden, says this: while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction. Jesus didn't want that to happen. He loved Judas. But Judas was a betrayer. So Judas left that night, and he went to do the devil's work. Relationships. Sometimes relationships have to be severed with people even that we love. They have to be sacrificed for the cause of Christ. So the question tonight is, if you appreciate Jesus, what are you willing to sacrifice for? Tonight, I hope that if there's anyone here in attendance this evening that needs to become a Christian, you are ready now to make that decision and to dedicate yourself to the Lord. So if you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you fervently to respond to the invitation this evening, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, and being baptized to wash away those sins. And if it's the case that you have not lived a life that demonstrates appreciation for what your Savior has done for you, and you want to make that right with Him this evening, we invite you to come now while together we stand and sing.